All right. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us shed every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set for us. This morning, what I want to talk about is as we consider and remember that there is, you know, in Matthew 12:43-45, you know, the time to hit the gym, the sermon series within the series, that it's not just good enough to stop doing things, that we have to replace the bad with the good, and we've got to build spiritual muscle, and we've taken time to learn what those exercises are. You know, and I reiterate those things every week, and it's not because I don't think that you know, I'm preaching to an intellectual crowd, because I know that I am. But one of the things that my mother taught me was that repetition is the mother of skill. And the more that we repeat and the more that we hear, the more that we will remember and believe and try to start living out the Word of God that we hear. And not just allowing it to hit our mind and hit our ears and our mind and then leave, but the more that we hear something, the more that you hear, you have to replace bad with good. Hopefully, we will leave here realizing I have got to change more of my life this week than I did last week. I mean, I don't want to be reduced to saying, okay, show of hands, how many people meditated on the Word of God this week? But that is accountability. That's what we need. We need to be in the Word, meditating on it and praying over it. Not just praying over our food and not just praying when we're sick, but God, reveal to me how you want me to be different and how I'm going to get there. God, transform me this week. That's the spiritual life that we should be living, that we have to be living, that God is trying to live through us. And so we've been learning what the exercises are. And this morning, we're going to talk about Satan's secret weapon. Even though we know what the exercises are, even though that we know we have to get in the gym and we have to work out and we got to build spiritual muscle, there is a secret weapon that Satan utilizes to perfection. And it's what I've entitled the sermon, Destruction Through Distraction. You know, there's so many distractions that we have on a daily, minute by minute, week by week, hour by hour basis that keep us from getting in the gym, that keep us from exercising our spirituality. And make no mistake about it, the first thing that I want us to know this morning is, and this is, you know, this is not a gloom and doom, fire and brimstone sermon. I'm going to get in the kitchen this morning, by the way, just so you know that. And I've got my running shoes on. And I probably won't stick around long after church, because I'm going to get up in your grill, because God's been getting in mine ever since I started this. And one of the things that He has been saying to me throughout this sermon series is, Shane, how dare you? How dare you say these things without living it? And so this morning, I don't know if anyone's ever come forward before the sermon started, but let me tell you something. God has been absolutely relentless as I have prepared and prayed over and studied these sermons. And this morning, before I even get into point number one, I want to respond to heaven's invitation this morning and say that I have to transform my life along with everybody else. I don't pray near enough. I don't study near enough. And my meditation is weak and paltry at best. I need to do better. And I'm seeking the accountability and the prayers of my brothers and sisters. Because I'm tired of settling. I am tired of being a weak and settling, lukewarm Christian. And I can be better. And this morning is all about getting up in the kitchen and saying, let's mix it up and be real. And understand that if we're not exercising
the way God wants us to, then we're not growing spiritually.
So destruction through distraction. Here's the thing I want you to know first of all. Make no mistake about it. Satan is real. I mean, we talk about Satan's secret weapon. And we read passages like 1 Peter 5 and 8. It says, the devil, who is your enemy. It says, be careful, be self-controlled, be alert, be all these things, be aware, because the devil, Satan, who is your enemy, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We read scripture like that, and we have sermons entitled Satan's Secret, you know, and we talk about, oh, the devil made me do this. Make no mistake about it. Satan is real. He's not a cartoon. He isn't a figment of our imagination. He is the enemy of our soul. And he wants to separate us from God for all of eternity. And that's not a joke. You know, we go to these youth retreats or Winterfest, and we see, you know, they got t-shirts for everything, and you can buy Christian t-shirts and you can buy Jesus t-shirts and verses, all kinds of stuff on there, and there's one that absolutely offends me, and Vicky has to grab me by the collar because, you know, I'll say something, and that's not the time or the place, because I'm not going to convert those Christian t-shirt people. There's one t-shirt that offends me. And it says on the front, all it says is Satan is a nerd. Exactly. You know, no, Satan is the enemy of our soul. It's not a joke. It's not flippant. It's not something that is to be made fun of or to be joked about. Satan is real. And he wants us to be separated from God. And until we believe that, we'll come up with any reason not to get in the gym. We really will. See, Satan doesn't just want to ruin our day. Satan doesn't want to just annoy us. He wants to consume us and devour us. And we've got to be careful and self-controlled. We've got to be spiritually fit. And see, what he'll do is he'll try to keep us from building spiritual muscle. What he wants to do is he wants to keep us out of the gym. He wants to keep us away from the things that will build us up and strengthen us and make us into this spiritually strong, this amazing biblical character. That's what he wants. But what he will do is try to keep you out of the gym. And so the question is, what keeps you out of it? What keeps you out of the gym? What keeps you and me? What keeps us from exercising spiritually, from fasting? What keeps us from praying continually? What keeps us from meditating on God day and night? What keeps us from spiritual worship? What is it? Well, what keeps you from exercising? Excuses. Distractions. Well, the Bible calls those sins. What keeps us from exercising spiritually are excuses / sin. If that's on your worship bulletin, fill that in. We come up with excuses. We come up with distractions. And here's the reality of the secret weapon of distraction. Here's the reality of being devoured by Satan. If Satan can get us to do anything besides pray, or meditate, or study, or fast, or worship, or serve, or be simple, or seek solitude, if he can get us to adjust the thermostat, you know, I'm going to pray, but you know, it's a little hot, I'm going to go over here, and then I can adjust the blinds, and then I'm going to fluff this pillow, and then, you know what, I got to make lunch, and I got to do, if he can get us to do anything, it doesn't have to be sinister, it doesn't have to be, you know, some kind of big satanic worship service, it doesn't have to be all those things, if he can get us to do one simple thing other than exercise, he piece by piece devouring us. When we were on Highland Trek, Hyatt found a stick. And if you look closely in all the pictures of Hyatt, he's got his stick. And we're carving that stick
and we're carving it into the shape of a knife. That's what he wanted. And you know how we're doing that? The same way you carve it into to look like an elephant. I told him, I said, son, do you know how you take a piece of wood and carve it to look like an elephant? Cut away everything that doesn't look like an elephant. Piece by piece, little by little. And sooner or later, we're going to take that stick and it's going to look like something other than what it started out as. That's what Satan's trying to do, distract us little by little. If he can own this second right here, he can put it next to another one and then another one where he's distracted us away from exercising and building muscle and getting closer to God. And if he can get 60 of those seconds back to back, he's got a minute. And then all he's got to do is put 1 minute on top of another. And the next thing you know, yesterday was not spent dwelling on and serving the true and living God. It was devoured by the enemy of our soul. Just get us distracted a few seconds at a time. Case in point, don't worry. Don't worry. That's what Jesus says, don't worry. Look in Matthew chapter 6, starting in 31. He says, let me get there. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? We've read this scripture 1,000 times. Do you know what Jesus is saying to us? Don't fall into the devil's trap. Don't get schemed away from me. Don't be distracted to destruction here. You know what he's saying? He's like, look, don't worry about what you will eat. Don't worry about your clothes. Don't worry about these things. Because you know why? Because what those are, turn your page one over to, that would be to your right, and you'll be in verse 19. Do not Stone read this. Don't store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. You know, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know what he's saying? You get distracted on your clothes and on your food and on your daily this and your daily that. It's something that distracts you away from the reality that you're in love with here. Your treasures are here. You're not focused on God. Your treasures aren't in heaven. Your heart is addicted to this place. And you know how Satan gets us to be addicted to here? By our clothes. What am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? I got to eat. I got to provide for my family. Oh, what's the stop? You know, all these things. We're distracted, all these things. And you know what? We don't realize little by little, he has captured our heart and our treasure is here. It's distraction. It's not full frontal attack. It's a distraction. See, we'll dwell on, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. You know what we can't, you know, as we think about don't worry, you know what we're doing? We're worrying about worry. He's saying, here's the reality, folks. Flex your spiritual muscle. Meditate on God. We got no time to think about food, clothing, and shelter because that's not where our focus is. He comes up with all of these excuses. These are distracting us from the devouring issues of our treasures, our heart being consumed with this earth. So we're going to talk about the sin or the excuses. We're going to talk about the excuses that keep us away from spiritual disciplines and the exercises that will help us to shed the sin that so easily entangles us. And some excuses are pretty evident. Some are obvious. And some sins are just downright evil. These are the ones that don't really take a rocket scientist Lancet here so I can use that. These are the ones that really don't take a whole lot of thought. The excuses that keep us distracted. And when our sin is obvious, and we can go anywhere to read about obvious things. We can go to 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, where it talks about the unspiritual people. It says, the very fact that you have lawsuits among you means that you have been completely defeated already. Why not rather be wrong? Why not rather be cheated? Instead, you yourselves cheat and do wrong and do this to your brother. Don't you realize the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God?
Do not be deceived. Do not be distracted. You know, it goes on. All of these obvious sins that will not be a part of the kingdom, that are not spiritually fit for the kingdom, and they're obvious things. It says these will not inherit the kingdom. You know why these things distract us? First of all, because we don't want to be around God. You know why we don't meditate or pray? You know how sin keeps us from doing that? Because Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." You know why they will see God? They're the only ones who want to. They're the only ones comfortable enough, bold enough, confident enough to be in the presence of a holy God, realizing that they're not holy. But if we hold on to this sin, these excuses, these things that we're addicted to, and they keep us from exercising. They keep us from building spiritual muscle because we don't want to be around God because of our guilt. We don't want to pray because of our guilt. We just don't want to give up what we're addicted to. You know, when we get right down to it, our sin is more important. We're addicted to it, so we stay away from God. We stay away from the exercises that will put us. Remember what I talked about 3 weeks ago? The spiritual disciplines aren't the point. They only put us in a place where God can change us. Well, if we don't want to change, we're not going to go to that place. It's like the old saying, you know, you go to the doctor and say, "Well, doc, I broke my arm in 3 places. And he says, well, don't go in those places. Well, if we know, you know why we will deny the worship or the exercise of worship, of assembling, of being together? Because we get together and it reminds us of the sin that we're addicted to. So we don't want to be here. But then you got some sins that are not so evil. You got some distractions that are hard to poke holes in. This is the tough part. This is where I'm about to stop preaching and get to meddling. Can't poke holes in work, can you? Gotta work. Gotta provide my family. You have to provide for, you know, I didn't have time to pray and to meditate and to fast or the this or that. I don't because I've got a job, Shane. You know, it's easy for you because your job is here. But let me tell you something. No, it's not easy for me because I can turn this into a career as quick as anybody. And I can stand up here and I can preach further and further away from God because it's all about work. Without love, I'm just a clanging cymbal and a sounding gong. So don't tell me about, you know, it's easy for me because I can deny prayer as easy as anyone else because of my job. I can have no time for meditating. Let me ask you this about work. If I said next week I'm not going to have any office hours whatsoever because I'm going to spend 40 hours next week meditating on the Word of God, how would that go over well as the business of the church? You know how many emails I'd have to make to clear that? Because this is a job like any other. It really is. So we've got to figure out around, but we can't poke holes because we got to do a job. We got to work. You know, we got to work 50 hours and 60 hours. And how many people are so proud? You know, I work 60 hours. That's why I'm building this career. I'm doing this to amount to, you know, why? Because it makes us spiritually strong. Because it makes us able to fend off the devil. Because it makes us able to set our mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Because work helps me to set my treasures in heaven, not on earth. Or is it the exact opposite? Hard to poke holes in school. I got homework to do. I got this to... I mean, our kids, we are raising a biblically illiterate generation. We make sure their homework is done. And I'm as guilty as anybody. My mother required me to have memory verses, to have scripture memorized before I could eat most nights. I would come to the dinner table and my plate was turned upside down and I would have to give her my memory verse before I could eat. I don't do that. And I want to start requiring more spiritual activity from my children than I have in the past. Because I've let you guys down in that. And I'm sorry. But I make sure their homework's done. Don't I? I check with their teachers to make sure their homework's done. How many times have I called their Sunday school teacher to ask them, have they done their Sunday school lesson? What a sad father. It's hard to poke holes in school, though. Especially preaching to a bunch of teachers. But where are our priorities? It's hard to poke holes in sports, too. And I'm talking to here's a dad who was all about sports growing up. Sports were my escape from a horrible home life. And I'll drive my kids all over God's green earth to go to tournaments. I've spent more money. You know, my kids have more different pairs of shoes for different sporting events. Because you can't wear baseball cleats to play soccer in. You can't wear soccer cleats to play baseball in. And you can't wear low tops to play basketball. And you can't wear high tops for any other reason. And, I just pray they don't take up bowling. I spend more money on sporting equipment and gas and time going to all of these things so that they can win trophies that will burn up and be forgotten. I have boxes of trophies that I won that I can't even remember what those tournaments or any of that. I spent more time going to tennis tournaments as a kid, and I picked up a tennis racket competitively in years. It was my life. What are the distractions that we get ourselves involved in that are socially, civically acceptable? That as Christians, I'm not saying sports are a sin. I'm saying we make sports a sin. Because it comes before anything else. We'll practice our free throws. But will we practice meditation? It's hard to poke holes in civic organizations that do so much good for our community. But we'll show up to meetings and we'll pay dues and we'll show up and work golf tournaments and do all kinds of things just be head over heels for civic organizations, and we'll pour time into schools and all these other things and just, man, we will put that stuff before anything spiritual under the guise of, it's a good example, it's a good this, it's a good that. Seek first His kingdom, not this kingdom. It's even hard to poke holes in our family. And we'll spend family time and we'll go on family vacations and we'll miss church things for family things and all this other stuff. But isn't that the same God who says, unless you prefer me more than your family? That's what that means when He says, unless you hate your wife or your children, unless you hate them, then you cannot come after me. What He means is unless you prefer me over your family, when we do all the family stuff, where's God in any of that? When you go on a family vacation, for family retreat, or whenever we have Sunday nights when it's family challenge night, do we gather our family together and pray together and meditate together and study together and grow spiritually together, or do we just do more of the distracting things that fill the rest of our week but do them together and call it family time so we feel good about it? It's hard to poke holes in these things, but it gets down to the last distraction, and it's time to just call it what it is. And maybe sin that's obvious or sin that's not so obvious, maybe it's just a reality that distracts us away, is that we just don't love God. We just don't love God. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, here's the rubber meeting the road, and here's what I've had to repent of every time I open this sermon this week.
If you love me, you will do what I've asked you to do.
It doesn't say, do what I've asked you to do to qualify for my love.
It says, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And so you have to ask, what is Jesus commanded?
If you don't give to people who need it, if we're not recklessly generous,
if we don't love people who are mean to us,
I mean in biblical love, not just not openly hate them and throw things at them, but biblical love, if we are not patient and kind and not jealous and not envious, if we keep records of wrong of people who are mean to us, if we don't love people who are mean to us, didn't Jesus say, turn the other cheek and offer them your, you know, and if someone robs from you, just give it to them. If they want to borrow, just let them have it.
He says, go into all the world and make disciples. If we don't make disciples,
and that's what Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I've asked you to do.
The reality is that if we're not generous, if we're not loving, if we're not immersed in prayer, if we're not spiritual worshipers, if we're not evangelistic, then we don't love God. And it's time to stop telling Him that we do. It really is. It's time to be honest and say, you know what? God, I don't love you. Because I don't do any of the things that you've asked me to do. I talk a good game, but I haven't been in the gym in years. I've sat in a chair in a building, but I haven't been to the gym. I haven't flexed or I haven't built. I haven't struggled against anything. I have no spiritual muscle, God, because I don't love you. That's just the truth. If we are ever going to be the people that God has called us to be, if we are ever going to experience the life, and I love what Stone had to say. I hope it was Stone. I forgot. When they said it, my ears perked up. I hope it was Stone. I'm giving you credit. Anybody can live just a regular, normal life. Is that you? Yeah. You can. Anybody can live a safe, vanilla, run-of-the-mill, average, everyday, controlled life. Who wants an adventure? An adventure like, I don't know how God is going to show up and pay this bill, but He's going to have to because I gave everything away. I don't know how God is going to fulfill me in this state of simplicity, but He's going to have to show up because I have nothing else in this world but Him. I don't know how, God, you are going to be my companion, but I am going it alone, but with you. I don't know how, God, you're going to fill me with joy, but I know you're going to show up. Man, that's a life. That's a life. It's not a boring life. Man, it's an adventure. That's what God's calling us for. That's the life that is fit for the kingdom. You know, whatever our distraction is, God can distract us away. God can bring our attention back to Him. If that's what we want. He can rise above. He can transcend. He can come before all of those other things, all before our job and our schooling and our sports and our organizations that make Tullahoma a better place. You know what would make Tullahoma a better place? More kingdom citizens. I mean, passionate, reckless, ridiculously rebellious against culture kingdom citizens. Man, what a place. What a place it would be. I'm going to do a better job this week. I'm going to fast more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to meditate on His law day and night. because I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better father. But more than that, I want to be a better kingdom citizen. And at some point, we just have to realize what has distracted us and set our mind on God and not on things of this earth. I really don't have a good ending for this sermon other than whatever our excuse has been, whatever our sin has been, whatever Satan has used to distract us, God's bigger than that. He wants us back. He wants to build within us a spiritual muscle that is so strong that nothing else in our body, nothing else in our life can exist. Would you join me as we together we stand and as we sing?